Thank you, Larry. Good evening. This is the meeting of the Central Arizona Independent Oversight Committee. Today is Tuesday, October 18th, 2023. Our agenda inadvertently yesterday listed our meeting date as the 17th, so I apologize for that. The time is 5:18, so we will begin our meeting at this point. First of all, introductions is, I'm not sure if Josh is online. Is Josh, is he been able to join us? Josh is ill. He's out of his office and ill, unfortunately. So we will proceed. It would appear, let's just do a quick call of members present. Rachel Strife.
Here.
Joy Green.
Here.
Matthew Moody.
Present.
Sabrina Taylor.
Here.
And I'm present. Are there any other IOC members present that I'm not seeing?
That'd be me, Summer.
Summer! Summer, you're hiding from me. I don't know what's wrong. Thank you very much.
Of course.
And we have just a quick introduction. Matthew, if you would like to introduce Joel Thompson, I understand he may be interested in joining our group, and we're so glad to have you here. And for the record, you were among the first logged on, so that's always a good sign.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. I know we had talked about having someone that's like an active practitioner. And so I've known Joel for a long time. He was actually my supervisor when I was an SMI case manager, however many hundreds of years ago that was. So Joel worked at, sorry, Joel, I hope it's okay. I'm giving an intro for you. But Joel did counseling at the VA for a number of years. And now he's in private practice. So I thought that his experience, should he desire to join the committee, would be really solid with the veteran portion and the active practitioner portion of it. Joel, I don't know if you wanted to say anything else.
No, yeah, that captures it. I was working for the REBA for 6 years as a case manager and then clinical coordinator, supervising both Matt and Josh Moselle too. And then spent the past 10 years at the VA in a number of ways, helping homeless vets, getting housed and keeping housed, and then working with SMI veterans. And then in January, I launched a private practice. So I've been doing that since. But yeah, thanks for having me. And I'm glad to learn about this committee more.
Thank you. We're so glad to have you. And we need all the help we can get in reframing issues and process. So I'm thrilled that you're here. We're really excited about our new membership. And so great. I see that Dr. Potts joined, I believe. Welcome, Dr. Potts. And I think I also saw that Laurie Goldstein or Dr. Chuck Goldstein, I'm not sure, Charles Goldstein, I'm not sure which one. I believe Laurie joined. Laurie is the chair of the Arizona State Hospital IOC and as such is also a member of our IOC. So thank you, Laurie, for joining. Now, I got a message. Her tactic extension is transcribing this meeting. Oh, perfect. That's great. Okay, we will proceed. You received the agenda, I believe. I don't know. Is Katie Williams on yet? Apparently, she's not on. We'll see if she joins us later. She is a potential new member, and this would be her second meeting, I believe. So I do know she was out at home yesterday with sick children, so we all sympathize with that, and hopefully she will hop on a bit later. First item as we go through our agenda, let's talk with our provider representatives who are here. Let's see, I know I saw a number of people joining early. So let's hear from the health plans and others. Blue Cross Blue Shield, I see Maria's on. Any update, Maria? Thank you for joining us.
No update.
Thank you. Don Reynolds is on from UHC, from United. Thanks for joining us. Any update?
Hi, Holly. Yeah, this is Don McReynolds. No, I have no updates. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have Tucson. Is that Health Choice?
Karen Ulick is here with Arizona Complete Health. No updates from us.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Any other of our community partners, any of the health plans on?
Yeah, Holly, this is Joe Coatsman with Banner.
Hi.
Hi, and I have no updates at this time. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I miss seeing you there. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Okay, great. Let's move on. Updates from Mental Health of America, Matt Moody.
Yeah, we had the Mental Health Matters Conference. I think that was 2 weekends ago, and it was really well attended. The mayor of Phoenix, the mayor of Scottsdale, and the policy advisor for the governor showed up. I think we had about 200-something people in attendance in person at Skysong, and then another 50 or 70 online. And it just went really great. You know, just to remind everybody, it was a free mental health conference. Gauge towards the community and giving the community skills to walk away from that right then to help people with mental health conditions and their family and so forth. And we actually, Larry, I see you. We actually got an email from somebody saying, like, my friend told me she was suicidal the day after this conference, and I knew what to do. And we got her help. So it had some impact on the community. It was really exciting. We're going to do this yearly. It's not just a Mental Health America thing. There's a couple of different organizations that came together for it. But Mental Health America of Arizona is definitely going to be a part of that going forward. And we really want to grow it to provide just, you know, community services. So it was just really a good time. Holly, Larry just said in the chat, please ask about conflict of interest just in case someone should have one. So I just wanted to make sure you saw that.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Larry, for sending it. So we need to ask our members if there's anybody given the agenda, anybody that has a conflict of interest that they need to declare. Anybody with a conflict? Okay, none. Thank you. Good. All right. Update from, I don't think we don't have a NAMI person, but let's get an update from the Department of Administration and Access. Larry, would anything from the Department of Administration we need to talk about?
Good afternoon, or good evening, rather. And sorry about the date on the agenda. That was my fault, not Holly's. So I was trying to do too many things at one time, so I apologize about that. The only update I would have for the committee would be the annual report is due November 1st, and I believe it's on the agenda for y'all to talk about. So I will leave it at that. So if you have any questions or concerns of that moving forward, please let me know. And I'll be happy to help with formatting, email, cover letters, that sort of thing for the group.
Great. Thank you. Frederica, anything from Access?
Good evening. The only thing that I have, I know a couple meetings ago, maybe last meeting, I don't recall exactly, but a question came up in regards to being able to determine how many IADs were being reviewed in the portal. And I did find a way to be able to get that number. So I am working on that, and I can send that over to you all.
Perfect.
Probably the next couple of days so that you guys can see how many you guys have reviewed from, I guess, January up until this point.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's really going to be important going forward as we try to move to our subcommittee, if we move to our subcommittee organization, and we really want to track our productivity and what we're our output. So that's going to be great. And I appreciate you following up on that, Frederica. Thank you very much. And I'll remember to email you and follow up as well. So thank you. Sure. I think we had one person just join. Let's see who's, I saw somebody pop up. Maybe I can't, not seeing exactly everybody who's on. Let me just check. Okay, I guess we're good. Okay. Moving on, updates from our IOC community. I know that Laurie is on, Laurie Goldstein, who chairs the IOC at ASH. Is there any updates, Laurie? Thank you. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Our committee is currently seeking members. Ashley, as you know, took a department job at the Department of Corrections. She was our attorney. So we are looking for members. If you guys know anyone that is interested in overseeing Arizona State Hospital, we're currently finishing up on our report, which I hope to have out in the next week. It'll show you trends and the number of assaults and things like that, issues that we've had over the past year, things that we think need attention, some recommendations. But in general, the administration, thanks to the bill that you wrote, is a lot. I think they come to the meetings now, and I think that Mike Sheldon and Dr. Fowler are a lot more approachable and not as defensive, and they're more collaborative. So we're hoping that'll make a difference. We get feedback from a lot of patients that they're grateful for some of the small improvements they're seeing.
Great.
Still staffing issues. they still are relying heavily on registry staff, which is not optimal when you're dealing with people with significant behavioral issues. It's really much better when you have someone that knows them, knows their triggers. So that's problematic. Hopefully they'll be able to solve that staffing issue.
Yeah. It plagues all the healthcare institutions. ASH is one of many victims of the shortage, for sure. I think that from my perspective, just watching ASH over the years and attending a lot of the old IOC meetings in the past when Laurie was on the committee, I think that the meetings are incredibly insightful and instructive. I think it'd be great if students in various disciplines in not only behavioral health, but hospital administration and other places could join and knew about it and listened. They're not always, they're very well conducted and civilly conducted. And I think that is a reason there's a lot of rapport and discussion that the hospital is willing to engage in. And that the prior administrations weren't. I think that's very positive. And I think that the patients, obviously the patients want change quicker. We all would, but I do think that they feel when, and I have a lot of patients, a lot of clients there, I think they do feel that the IOC is something that they don't want to miss. And that's very, I think that's very positive. So and Laurie, thank you for that update. And we look forward to the annual report. And Dr. Potts has his hand up. Dr. Potts, question.
Laurie, good to see you. What's happening with the CRU and advancement? Because as you and I know, and everyone knows, there was nothing going on for a couple of years and people were walking around with in a locked facility wearing GPS monitors, which was kind of a silly thing, I thought, and we all thought. So how is that progressing? Are you seeing movement on the CRU, that's conditional release unit, and people moving forward and getting on with their ISPs? Can you update us on that?
Yes. I can tell you that people have been moved over there. They're getting passes, 24-hour, 48-hour passes. That's working well. As far as Superior Court, feedback that I'm hearing is that when the patient's attorneys file for a hearing, that's going smoothly. The problem is sometimes they can't get hold of their public defenders, or especially in the southern, I think, of Pinal County, they were having a hard time. So I think Mike Sheldon helped reach out to them. But whenever we're seeing resistance, if we reach out to administration, they are actually helping now. So, and I know they're doing more risk assessments. So we're having, there's always going to be a tension and a balance when they do a lot of risk assessments, and they're going through that right now. But at least they're doing outings again. They've increased food visits from, it used to be two, then four, then none for a year and a half or two. And now they're, I think, eight food visits, 4 to 8. So the patients are happy with that.
That's a great question, Dr. Putz. And I know my clients are moving really pretty fast. It's faster to get a hearing in Pima County than it is in Maricopa, but we're getting them in Maricopa set within 30 days when the record packet is complete. And I think what's really important is that the ASH staff all show up to testify, and the medical director often is on the Zoom. I haven't met him, but I finally figured out who he was. And I found that to be very positive, that even though he wasn't testifying, he was listening and watching and observing. And as Dr. Potts knows, in the past, medical directors have either not attended or have told the ASH providers not to go. So, I mean, this is in many ways, and obviously I'm an unabashed critic of ASH in many, many instances from time to time, but there is a lot of credit due for some progress there and changes. And I want to be, I think what Laurie just talked about reflects that. Okay, next item. We have some unfinished business items that we want to run through. And starting, Dr. Potts, in going through and looking at matters, there was a discussion about you doing a letter about consent by individuals. I'm just going to run through these. We don't have to spend time on them because I want to come to another discussion about a meeting later. But is that something you're still going to do? We can't hear you.
I'm sorry, remind me, I don't, about consent.
Jack, this is, Dr. Potts, this is about whether or not a guardian can consent to counseling or to other services at the SMI clinics. And then we had asked Mercy Care what their policies and procedures and training for that was. Their lawyers came back and said, that's too broad of a question. And then we agreed in the last meeting that there would be a letter written to state that, no, we would like you to answer the question still with a little bit more.
And I apologize. I don't remember being the one who was tasked with that or accepting that, because I know Josh is certainly an expert on guardianship. So okay. I apologize. That wasn't on my agenda nor on my radar at all because I
had, and we may have put it there mistakenly.
Well, maybe, and I apologize because I was working on something else. But yeah, and I don't feel comfortable with anyone do it since I didn't draft the original letter. So I think get the response, but I'm willing to work with someone if I want, but I will put on my radar, but maybe we need to reassign it. And I didn't see
that. Holly, I don't mind doing it and then just having Josh or you take a pass at it if it's wrong and then I'm getting it. I can get that done this week.
Okay. That's great. Excellent.
Jack, is that okay with you?
Yeah, no. And yeah, of course it is. Again, it wasn't on my radar nor my whiteboard.
Okay. So Matt, we'll follow up with you next week. I think that's an important item, and it's going to be an important portion to discuss in our annual report. I'm going to skip a little bit out of order here. Did anybody in the past month do any IAD reviews or site visits?
I have some IADs that were returned to me from Frederica, and I reviewed the responses to those, and there's nothing that really significantly bothers me. I have not reviewed any IADs. I was gone most of the month, but I have not reviewed any new IADs, nor was I here on the Friday scheduled for site visits. And maybe we can talk about, and if we want to talk about site visits, I'm willing to schedule one now with the members here if we want me to throw out a date that I can go and see if anyone wants to bite.
Well, we'll take that. That's a great idea. We'll take it up. I want to take it up a little later. I don't want to spend we've got a big agenda, and I don't want to spend time scheduling, and we don't have a lot of our members here. So
Holly, if I may, if someone wants to join me Sunday at 10 o'clock, if anyone who is here, we don't have to, you know, if yes, that's just say so. If not, then we'll say no. 10 o'clock Sunday.
I can stay at 10.
You can? Good. Okay, see, that's done. Now we have a site visit scheduled for Sunday at 10 o'clock. Excellent. And I will then email everyone, and we'll figure out where. If you have a place you would like to go, I have a couple that I've heard of. Let me know, a certain town. So we'll just shoot for Sunday, 10 o'clock, and I'll send out an email confirming it. Okay? Thanks. That
Great.
Was easy.
Excellent. Thank you. Laurie is going to be stepping off, but she's kindly said she'd be available if we had any questions. So thanks to Laurie for that. I want to move on to, I want to go back to Emmanuel Campus of Care. I have a letter drafted, which I'll be reviewing with sending around to ask why Emmanuel is not required to do IEDs, apparently, and what the process is for determining who does not do IEDs. And I believe that should simply go to Access. So that's a question, Frederica. Should my letter just come to you as our liaison?
Yes, you can send it to myself and to Larry.
Okay, great. And we'll do that. As you may remember from one of the site visits, Emmanuel Campus of Care indicated that they don't do IADs, haven't done IADs. And our question is simple. Why are they not required to, and what's the criteria for that? So that is, in a sense, what the letter is. Okay, moving on now to new business. We had talked about this last week. I would like to, Josh and I have talked, we would like to have a special meeting of the board to work on some specific issues that relate to, first of all, finalizing and approving the annual report. Second, dealing with how to best onboard new members, since we're happily growing. And that, I think, is going to require some discussion and participation by particularly our new members, because we now have as many new members as we had existing members, or more, I guess. So I want to make sure that the new members tell us what they want to hear from the committee, how they see the committee working. So it's a bit of a combination of planning and planning our focus activities for next year, which is a part of our annual report, and also the common educational requirements that we need to focus on for all the members. Frederica has offered to provide and did provide, I think, the PowerPoints for the IAD system. I think we may need to have some Zoom sessions where we can actually have somebody online to walk through with us. That was sort of one of the things I think we want to talk about. So as part of onboarding is what do we need to do for new members, and then those of us who've been here a while but maybe aren't as savvy as we should be with the IAD portal, and how do we address that jointly as two joint issues. Second or third, I would like to, Josh and I talked about using that meeting as a time to get a subcommittee structure set up. Matt Moody has been working a bit on that, I think. And I think if we can get to subcommittees, to do the work in between the board meetings, we can accomplish a lot. So that would be another aspect. And to schedule some points during the year where we make sure we take time and examine to see what we are producing, the outputs that we are producing. The final thing, a little bit at that meeting, and I would invite at the end of the meeting, the chairs from the Southern Arizona and from Northern Arizona, and Lori from ASH to talk about having a statewide IOC meeting. We had one, a couple of them, and a really good one in Casa Grande. We all met there. And with Zoom, we can certainly do it more easily, but it was very helpful. It was a really educational, instructive few hours to talk about how each IOC is addressing the problems in its particular area. At that point, there was only one REBA, so it was somewhat easier. But now with three, I think there are a lot of things that maybe we can learn the community IOCs from each other. And I'd like to see us try to pull that together. And I would invite the other chairs to join us. So my question is for the committee, and I'd like to ask Larry to help, if we can try to find a few, maybe an hour and a half before the 30th of October, so we're looking at really another 10 days, that we could have the board. We'll have to post it's a board meeting, so it'll be subject to open meeting laws, but we won't be doing anything except focusing on the work products that we want to have next year, the use of subcommittees, reviewing and approving our a final report draft. And so are there, if anybody is, I'd like to kind of see if there are days next week that absolutely work or don't work for people. It's always risky to do this in a live meeting because everybody will say, well, I can be available 2 hours on Tuesday morning, but not on Wednesday morning, whatever. But it is, if everybody could quickly look, I would like to see if we could do a Zoom or an in-person, maybe one morning before everybody gets so busy. And if you looked next week.
I'm good for every day except Wednesday morning. I can do every morning that week.
Perfect. And we could think about, if as I'm looking here, I'm looking at maybe Tuesday morning?
I really can't do Tuesday. If there was a Friday possibility that worked for everyone, that would be ideal.
Okay. There's Friday this week. I can certainly do Friday morning.
I can as well.
I can. Okay.
I have a conference this week, but I can do the 27th.
You can do, oh, okay. The 27th, that's Friday. Friday morning.
That's good for me as well.
Dr. Potts. Friday morning.
He's nothing.
Good.
No, I'll try and fit anyone's schedule.
Okay. Joy.
I'm available.
Sabrina.
Yes, I just have a meeting at 10 a.m. So if we can do it before then.
All right, great. So we could let's shoot for Friday, October 27th at 8 a.m.
Can we shoot for 8:30?
8:30, yes. That's actually better for me. And I would think that we would certainly be done by 10:30. And you'll have the annual report draft in advance over the weekend, and we will hopefully be done by then. And to the extent that you give some thought to what's I've reviewed, subcommittees that you'd like to see for new board members, this is really, I'm enthusiastic about listening to you. Dr. Potts and Joy and I have, well, Dr. Potts, when did you come on the committee? How many years ago?
I think before you were born, Holly.
I doubt that. You don't know how old I am, or you wouldn't be saying that. And just to answer, just if anybody's curious, that would have meant he was on before 1954. But Dr. Potts has been on since, I think, the original formation of the IOCs, or shortly thereafter in the 90s?
Shortly thereafter.
Okay. But in the early 90s?
I really don't remember.
Okay.
I have a difficult time scheduling today, so the hell we're going back 10 years.
Good Sorry. Point. So Joy has been on since 2009 or 8?
I couldn't tell you. I don't remember, but it's been a long time.
And I looked back because I did have emails that went back that long, which is kind of frightening. But it looks like I came on in 2010 or 11. It looks like it kind of, there was an overlap. So, and Josh has now been on for a good 6-8 years, I guess. So I really see this as an opportunity for people who are in the field. Our new members are in the field working day by day. I'd love to have your thoughts fresh and unvarnished, and to tell us how you'd like to see this committee move forward. I think this is a great opportunity with our growth to have lots of new ideas. So I look forward to that, and I'll be sending out some emails and things through Larry in the meantime to get some more thinking going. So thank everybody for being willing to do this on a Friday morning. I would like to go back up to an item that kind of fell through the cracks, but just get an update a bit. We had a mother back in May, I guess, or so, July, who wrote about her daughter who had passed. And she sent the email to the IOC portal, which means that's the portal for all IOCs in Arizona, the three SMI IOCs and the ASH IOCs. And Larry handled that, and instead of sending it to the to the IOC, to us. It did mention Dr. Potts, but he sent it over to Access because he thought that was a quick way to get the person a response. In July, the individual, and as I understand it, Frederica, you picked up the ball at that point and sent it over to Mercy. And it didn't come to us as an IOC. So just two things to check on right now. One is, what is the status of the inquiry by this mother whose daughter, as it turns out, went missing after she was discharged from Haven and died on the streets, it appears. Where do we stand in that in follow-up?
I'm actually not, I'm not privy to that information. That information stands with Mercy Care, who is the person or the folks that conducted, you know, the investigation on that. But also, because R921 states that the IOCs can engage in the GNA process for SMI members, this particular person you're referring to is not SMI. So we're not at liberty to provide any information anyhow, even if I did have it, because the HIPAA violations would say that we cannot, because one, she's not an SMI member. And for two, we don't have any ROIs on file saying that we can have a discussion. The original request came to us by via an email, which to us came by way of it didn't come directly from the IOC, right? So if it was something that the IOC was requesting an update on, you all would have needed to have a discussion in an open forum like this one, take a vote on it, send it over to us in writing as a formal request, and then start the investigative process in that manner, as the IOCs are always instructed to do. Because that didn't happen, there was no way for us to know that this was, you know, you guys were, I guess, involved in it.
Well, let me stop you here, Ms. Grimm. No,
hold on.
Frederica. Frederica.
Confidentiality agreement.
No. I'm sorry.
You
beyond
are
that.
Not at liberty to speak on this because it's a confidentiality.
Okay. I understand. I understand, just to summarize, Frederica, what you're saying is that Access's position is that Larry sends this IOC complaint that's sent to the IOC to Access. You sent it to Mercy, right?
What happened is the request came to us, and the way that it came to us as a public request, right? The way that we would determine if it was an IOC request is if it came from the IOC. It did not.
Okay. I understand.
So it is.
Here's what I'm trying to get at. And Dr. Potts, let me just get down on a clear understanding of how Larry and Frederica handled it.
If I may clarify, since I'm the one who had this come, and she corresponded with me, and I am the one who brought it to the attention of the IOC a month later when I got a query specifically from the mother. So let me give some background. I met the mother. I said, if you have some issues you'd like to look at, feel free to email the IOC, not email Access, not email Mercy Care, not Frederica nor Larry, but the IOC. She also copied me on that email, as you can see. So who cares? HIPAA may be moot or not, may have to deal with that, but we're not even at that point, as you're going to point out, Ms. Giesel. What the point is, this was directed to the IOC. That was to us to look at, and it was, but we were bypassed. And so I guess my concern is, if they want to deny access or say you don't have right, blah, 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 that's fine. We're not even there. And I think that's the issue you raised.
Well,
Ms. Graham, This came to the IOC. It came to the only email we have, and I was also copied on that. So that wasn't, it obviously was meant to go to the IOC, it was directed to the IOC, and me as a member. So anyway, it I'm was sorry. Never directed to Mercy Care, never to Access.
It's not directed to Mercy Care or Access, but it wasn't from the IOC either.
When it comes to from there.
Well, when it comes when you all are requesting a response back, it would need to come from the IOC as all of your requests come. I'm just not sure at what point that particular instance didn't happen. I mean, we've never we've never given a response back to the IOC just because
we didn't want a response.
I'm not sure where the issue is then.
I think that unfortunately, but that's the way we learn lessons in life. A daughter died, a young woman died shortly after discharge from Haven Hospital. Mm-hmm. That email came to the IOC, was provided to the IOC because Dr. Potts was copied on it and had interaction with the mother. It went initially came to the into the official channels of the IOC with the mother emailing the only email address that is available, which is the general IOC mailbox. So I want us to focus on this process and flowchart it out, because I think that this sad death of this young woman can teach us a lot about how we need to improve our process. So it comes to the IOC portal, email. Larry gets it, and correctly, when I talked to Larry this morning, says, "Oh, well, I wonder if she's SMI and didn't conclude that this was intended for the Maricopa, for the Central Arizona IOC." So he sends the email to Access to Frederica. So my question, Frederica, is, and then my understanding is that you took the next step and sent it to Mercy for Mercy to investigate. And it ended there because Access did not see the request as a request coming from the IOC or as something that would require or permit Mercy to report back to you and then back to the IOC. I think that's the flowchart process that we're dealing with. Am I right so far?
Well, it came to us as a public email. That's the way that I received it. So if anyone were to send an email through the public, it would be handled the same exact way.
Okay.
There's no way for us to differentiate if it's an IOC or a public, unless the IOC directly sends it as in a vote in the meeting, and then you guys put it in writing to us.
Okay.
Otherwise, no, there's no responsibility from us to provide you all with a response because it did not come from you all. Now,
okay.
I don't know the relationship between the mother and Dr. Potts. I found that out later on, but that still would not have prompted us to send Dr. Potts any information because that is not proper procedure. There's several issues there, confidentiality, the member's not SMI. We're not at liberty to provide any information that we don't have. And so that's why it went to Mercy Care. They are the contractors who were in charge of determining what the findings would be as opposed to responses. So yes, that's the way that it works.
Thank you. And have you made any attempt to follow up with Mercy Care to find out if they communicated with the mother?
I sure have, but they're not at liberty to give me that information either.
Have you attempted to reach out to the mother?
I sure have.
And did you reach her?
I was not able to reach her, but by her voicemail that she left me was that her voicemail box was full and that she realized that we weren't able to leave her messages. Larry and I reached out to her on numerous occasions. I left her a voicemail on October 5th after her response to me, or a voicemail she left me. So, yeah.
Okay, great. And Larry, did I, just to be sure, because we're going to, I don't consider, I think we've identified a core issue, and that is that Access's position is that the IOC email at the Department of Administration is a public email that is not regarded by Access or the Department of Administration as an email that people use to send complaints to this IOC.
That's not what was said, Holly. That email address is not checked by Access, so I can't tell you one way or the other how that works.
Right. Larry checks, but you told
me it's a public response. That's how it comes to me. Yes.
All right.
Yeah, Holly. So Holly, this email came to me through a general inbox or general email address, asking for help on an investigation on her daughter's claim. I got that over to Frederica immediately, and Frederica was able to get that over to her, to Mercy, within the hour. Okay. So,
Larry, nobody's criticizing.
There was nothing there that said that please send this email to Central IOC. I want to address their committee, or I want to speak to somebody within the committee. It didn't say that.
It does. So, it says through IOC. The address says through IOC. It doesn't say to Larry Allen DOA. I have in front of me. It says through IOC at AZDOA. Jack, yeah.
First of all, you have direct conflict on this case.
How?
You did an IME on this individual.
I don't believe I did. And if I did, I have no recollection of it. All I know is the conflict. I don't know if the conflict. We're going to investigate anything. The question is, it says to IOC at AZDOA. That's the only question we have. Is it says IOC. It doesn't say to DOA. It doesn't say Larry. It doesn't say to Frederica. It says to IOC. Does that email not IOC?
I understand that, but you're not the IOC.
Oh, no, but
you're Central IOC. There's three other IOC, sir.
But it's obvious it's this one because that's what a patient says in Phoenix, and they copy me on it. Would that not give you an indication that it meant us?
No.
It went to IOC. Why didn't you see if it was? Because we did not, IOC did not initiate any inquiry. This was something someone said, hey, we may want to do that. As for if IOC was to initiate an inquiry, it would have been informally. This was someone saying, from the public, I'd like you to look at this, please. It says to IOC. And what you did is you took that email and didn't even forward it to anyone at IOC. And so how do we get emails when I pass out the brochure on a monthly basis to people in the residential facilities? If you have things you wish us to look at, please let us know. How does that email get forwarded? Because this one got sidetracked for months.
It doesn't get forwarded to you all. That's not how the process works.
Well, then we need.
Okay. I'm going to have to step in. I'm going to step in because I believe that any fifth grader listening to this conversation would readily conclude that there is a major administrative glitch in how the public in Arizona can email an email address that says IOC at the Arizona Department of Administration and have confidence that it's going to come here.
Now, that's not what that email is used for, Holly. So I beg to differ. That email is not for you, for us to give you guys emails that come there.
But the public doesn't know that, Frederica. I agree.
The public doesn't know that.
Okay. We're going to address this, but the public must have, in my opinion, an email that says IOC where they can communicate. Now, Larry, when you and I talked this morning, you said that you had reached out multiple times and you couldn't reach her. The phone would go busy signals and the emails pop back, right? You made efforts to reach her.
Correct. I followed up with the individual.
Okay. So I want to tell you what I did because we were the email was given to the IOC. I called her and she picked up on the third ring.
And I said, I'm trying to figure out if there was follow-up. And send me an email and tell me what you want to have happen here. There's been no follow-up. She hasn't heard a word from Mercy. Marissa, to me and Josh Mozell, it was a pleasure speaking with you and to Potts. I want to thank you for following up on my deceased daughter's case. I initially reached out to the IOC to request a thorough investigation as to my daughter's stay at Haven. My daughter was released on May 8th, 2023 without identification, wallet, cell phone, or important notifying information with her contact, emergency contact, or family member. Brianna was released and lost for 8 hours. The trauma she endured was noticeable when we finally found her with the help of family friends. Brianna was not only facing mental health issues, but was pregnant. Once again, I am requesting the IOC to please take a look at my daughter's case and make sure policies were followed, and most importantly, the help treatment offered. I feel she was left in cracks of the behavioral health system, which in my eyes failed in providing the help she needed at this time of crisis, especially when she was facing being pregnant. I really hope I can get some closure. Now, in behavioral health, the first thing you do is you reach the person where they are. And we, as an IOC, are going to have an IOC email that the public can email when they want to do what this mother did, which was to reach out to the IOC to request a thorough investigation of her pregnant daughter's death on the streets after she was released from Haven Hospital, allegedly, with no information at all as to who she was. Now, I understand HIPAA. I understand R9-everything. I understand all of the problems of having state agencies run things. But we are not going to let the absence of a public email that the public can access and use keep us from these kinds of cases. I think that we cannot expect the public to know if the only email on the internet that says IOC at the Department of Administration is not an email that you use to send emails to the IOC. Now, you know, I'm not the brightest bulb, but if I saw IOC at adoh.gov, I would think I was emailing this IOC or one of the other IOCs. So we're going to take it up. You guys can run back to Access and tell them how terrible we are and unreasonable we are, but just tell them that all we want, and you can tell Mercy that, and you can go back to ADOH, but just tell them all we want is an email that when a mother is looking for her dead pregnant daughter's cause of death, she can email an IOC at Arizona Department of Administration and know that she's getting to the IOCs at the Arizona Department of Administration. So that's all we're going to say about the matter. We're going to take it up in the committees. And I find it hard to believe that anybody is going to want to stand behind and defend a confusing email. And we don't know that this lady, we have no idea if she's SMI or not, because you can't tell us if you can't tell us HIPAA-protected information. So you say, we can't give you HIPAA-protected information, but she was an SMI. Whoop, better report that violation. I let this play out and I asked questions to get you to just describe the process, and what unfolded is important. And I don't want to be critical and I don't want to be strident, but this is a real life example of a young woman whose life ought to count for something, even if it's only getting us to get our email system in order. Now, we got two people with hands up. And it was Matt first and then Rachel. So, Matt.
No, I think we covered it. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we all understood this, because I think that you're right, Holly and Jack. Like, I think that, you know, Frederica, I understand that there's policies and procedures here, but I think this is a situation where the bureaucracy and these sorts of things got in the way And yes, I understand this person was an SMI, but this still is a facility that treats SMI folks, right? So this, I think, still is under that. But sorry, I think Holly described it well, but I just wanted to reinforce that.
Rachel.
Hi, so I kind of have some very basic questions. There was a young man that was evaluated for SMI by the service that does that, and they didn't have all of the patient history. There were several psychiatrist reports that were not provided to that SMI evaluation, and that young man should have, he's now been designated SMI after committing a horrific crime and being in jail. So is someone that should be SMI, but there was a problem in their SMI evaluation that got missed? Is that in the scope of this IOC proper evaluation of SMI subjects, potentially SMI subjects? And then my next question is a legal question that I don't know. If someone is deceased and can't consent to the investigation of their files or their information, medical records, how does that work? Do you ask a next of kin to approve it if there was no guardian? I just don't know. I'm curious. So those are my questions.
In my view, the next of kin can request an investigation as to the death of their daughter. She also told me that she had been calling Mercy, calling Access, and either couldn't get through or didn't get, and was leaving messages and so forth. She just wants a copy of her daughter's death certificate. She hasn't been able to get that yet. So, SMI or not, if a mother calls me with a dead pregnant daughter, I'm going to get her a copy of that birth certificate, of that death certificate.
Yeah.
So, on my own dime, not on the IOC if necessary. Sabrina, you have a question.
Or Holly, did you answer my first question about SMI designation? Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
If SMI evaluation didn't happen properly and someone was wrongly not given an SMI designation right. status, is that in our scope to investigate?
I think so, yes.
I'm going to disagree with that because I think it does say specifically SMI. Doesn't mean they can't be evaluated later after they get redeemed, they get the status. But I think we'll discuss that at our meeting. Yeah.
And I think that's a really good one because she is SMI. She just hasn't been diagnosed SMI.
Or determined.
Yeah, she hasn't been determined SMI. So, yeah, I think, and that may be something that the committee decides and will vote decide what to do. Okay, Sabrina.
So I know that we have our mission in the ARS, and then we have additional policies that were written out. And I don't have access to the additional policies, so forgive me. But in the actual ARS, I don't see anything about it being limited to SMI. It just says a committee on the mentally ill. It also says that we have access to the extent that we need it to client information and records. And it doesn't, you know, the only exception it makes is attorney-client privilege. And and it doesn't say we have to request it in writing, and it says when we request that information, if it can't be provided, even in redacted format, we need a letter in writing, and it gives a number of days for that to happen. So I guess I'm not understanding why we can't get that information, because at least in that ARS, it doesn't prohibit us from having it.
You've raised a really important point that I think we will want with the other IOCs want to discuss. And there was a lawsuit brought by the Southern IOC committee, and they prevailed, and it was over Access refusing to give certain documents. And that was years ago. But what's happened over the years, Sabrina, it's a great question, is that Access has layered on, and the Department of Administration, there are guidelines and procedures and policies that we follow. And this is why I'm so glad we have new members, because Rachel and you and Matt, you guys just zeroed in on the heart of a very important matter, which is the scope of the committee, how the public can access us. And it's, I almost feel like Bill Clinton, it depends on what the definition, you think the definition of sex is. How do we have an IOC email that says anything other than IOC? We're going to.
Holly, sorry, if I may, should we just make a, can we make a motion now and ask for access or somebody to clarify why we have to have someone that's SMI before it, you know, obviously what we're seeing here, you know, an attorney and a detective are stating that the statute does not state that it has to be SMI. I guess I want a motion to say that I would like access to clarify why this is limited to SMI if the Arizona Revised Statutes does not say that. And if we do have access to this information, how do we, I don't know, grease the gears or whatever so that this happens more quickly in the future and there isn't confusion or misunderstanding and those sorts of things that are preventing us from doing this really important work?
Sure. I would like to have a little more. I appreciate the thought, and I think we will want to have a motion to clarify some things. I'd like to do that at our meeting. In part because we don't ask access to interpret the statutes or to define our they're not our general counsel, right? They're access. And so I think we want to have some more internal discussion first. So I'd like to just think about doing that at down the road at another future meeting.
I'm putting it on the agenda. I'm writing down agenda items, you know, an action item. So I'll put it on there to discuss next Friday.
Great. Thank you.
Ms. Taylor, just a quick aside. Frederick Graham was correct in that we never initiate a formal request for information. And what they did is they hijacked this email. We would have discussed it had we been aware of it coming. And we would have discussed it and then voted on whether or not we wanted further investigation, then sent a formal request to access saying we need a formal response to this. So what Frederica said was absolutely correct, that she never got it as a formal request, therefore they couldn't put it in the process. We've always done that. There's nothing wrong with that. And so because it was hijacked, and that's the concern I think we all have, and then I think your point is, we do have a right to get the information, and we've gone down that road and fought them before on that, but we didn't even make a formal request in this case. And I think we can, if we wish to, because we do have the email. As an aside, I have drafted a letter with Jerry on our site visit from a month ago, and that letter is going to go to Holly, and I was late on it, but she looked at it today when I sent it to her, that asked for a formal request as to what's happening at this one residential facility. At that point, that formal request, because we voted on that, me having the authority to write the letter, will go to IOC email, where Larry will then disseminate it to Frederica or whomever he believes, and she will then pass it on to the appropriate agency. But does that help at all with the understanding of, thank you, didn't mean to interrupt. Summer has her hand up, Holly. I think.
Go ahead, Summer.
I was approached by a family before they submitted, which now I'm kind of like, where do I even send them to put a request in with the IOC? But they have a loved one, a son actually, that had been in some significant legal trouble and is actually currently in jail. And from what I saw, what they sent to me personally, this individual should have never been in jail because they were released from, UPC far quicker than what they should have been, especially considering how they presented. They should have been at least been held on a 72-hour hold, mostly for being DTO. So they had just, I mean, this has been, I've seen a couple over the course of a couple years, this happening, and each time they were quickly incarcerated. And they had just asked, is there a time frame or a limitation in which they can file, you know, a complaint, or, you know, just send a message into us to look into that, and maybe in some shape or form hold the system accountable?
Yeah, so Summer, that's a great question. And I'm sorry, I see that Holly dropped off. So Summer, give me 1 second while I clarify this. Are we able to continue the meeting without a chair present? Is that possible?
Yeah, I think we have a quorum. And I think you may. I think she's dropped off because of technical difficulties.
I think so too. Let me suggest, but I would say,
let me suggest what I would do in the future is anytime we recommend someone to send a complaint or issue to IOC, they copy you, they copy the chair, they copy one of us like they did on this case for me. Otherwise, we would never have known this. Okay. So that's my thoughts. And there's no time limit when investigations can take place.
Okay, great.
That's my sense.
And Summer, the other thing I would say as the secretary, you want to bring these things up ahead of time, at least 2 days before the meeting, so we can get it on the agenda. We are not, to my knowledge, allowed to discuss things that are not on the agenda. So that's a very important issue. Okay. You can send an email to me right now, and then we'll put it on the next agenda for next month to discuss sure.
Great.
And that goes for everyone. We can put lots of things on the agenda. The chairs have to approve it, to my knowledge. But, you know, we want to know about these things ahead of time so we can plan for how long it will take and how big the agenda is and those sorts of things. Holly, was that you that just joined on the phone? Okay. Let's see. So that was the Haven. Was there any more discussion from anyone on the committee that wanted to talk about that specific Haven behavioral health issue? Okay. The next thing she had on the agenda was IADs.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Oh, is that Holly?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
You're back. Yeah, we
I'm so sorry. We lost all of our power at 3200 North Central. I'm sitting in the dark on the 15th floor. So, and my computer went off. So I'm on my cell phone. I apologize.
Okay, well, the agenda, Matt was talking about what's next in the agenda since you can't see it on your computer screen.
Yeah, thank you all for, and thank you, Matt, for doing that. I think we've covered the agenda. Our meeting we decided is next week. We'll get that out and we'll get an agenda out for it and get it posted and so forth.
Sorry, Holly, real quick. Frederick, I just want to make sure you saw Sabrina's request in the chat. Could you provide a link to the regulations, because she cannot find them online regarding the scope of the IOC? Is that correct, Sabrina? Okay.
Yeah.
Is that something you can do, Frederica?
Can you explain exactly what you're looking for when you say the scope of the IOC? Are you talking about the ARS or are you talking about the?
No, I have the ARS, but you quoted R9121.
Yeah, I'm thinking the R9s.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Sure.
And I believe that it's useful to remember that the Arizona Administrative Code that Frederica is citing is the portion of the Administrative Code that deals with the rights of individuals with SMI. It does not define the limit of the population for whom the independent oversight committees have jurisdiction.
Kurt, Holly, and okay. I did find our some of our documents here, and it does say, including but not limited to, individuals deemed to be in need of special assistance, the seriously mentally ill. So I agree.
Exactly. Yes. So I think this discussion very helpfully clarified that complaints or inquiries to the IOC are not limited to individuals who are designated seriously mentally ill or enrolled in special assistance.
And no one should be screening those emails first.
Okay, Doctor. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Dr. Potts. Yes. Thank you. So we've clarified that point. The next point and our concluding point for the evening is that this death has given us an opportunity to see a very big deficiency in the way we have made ourselves accessible to the public and able to engage with family members who have relatives who are ill or tragically have passed away. So I think we've gotten a lot clarified, and now we know where we need to focus, which is to get this committee more accessible to the folks we're going to be serving. Anybody have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second from Potts.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Anybody opposed? Okay. Thank you all. And we will see you next month for everybody who's online, and committee will meet to get organized and all ready for next year with the help from our new member. Thank you very much.
Well done, Holly. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly.
Thanks, everyone.